See, you have to make adjustments in order to be useful to the Holy Spirit. I made personal adjustments. I made ministry adjustments. I still make adjustments for every glory that I enter into. But see, anybody that proceeds, the Lord will take you far beyond the mindsets of the day and enable you to do what's not being done. And introduce greater light. He'll make you more effective, just like with the salt of the earth. And he'll make us more obvious, because our light will be more glorious in him. See, he shines through us. In all of our activity, he shines through us. Now, he said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit, out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirits. And I'll pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now let's go back to Acts. See, Peter, he's in place. He's aligned. He's fully submitted to the Lord here. He's humble to the Lord, and he's aligned. He made adjustments every time. When Jesus would rebuke him, he would embrace what Jesus said. Now, and this miracle happened here. Now watch what he said. You know, Acts 2 verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now watch what he said afterwards. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out my spirit. And I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, smoke, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. We had so many blood moons these years. Before the great and notable day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This had never been done before. And yet, here it is. Then he said in Acts 2:38, the holiness church, apostolic church, favorite scripture. Then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in another place he said, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Same thing. Because Jesus is the name, you know, people get caught up in that. But nevertheless, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, God means business. And that was a heavy day. People had to make all these adjustments at once. But God was right there for those that were humble. Then in Acts chapter 10, we see Peter again having visions after Cornelius came to him. So Peter had the visions. And he knew that the Gentiles would be saved. Here's Acts chapter 10 verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descended upon him as it had been a great sheet a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." The voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice. And the vessels was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself that what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, would lodge there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So Peter was in obedience again. His mind had the adjustment. He saw all these unclean animals on the sheet from heaven three times. Okay, then Peter went down with the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius. "I am he whom ye see. What is the cause therefore ye are come?" And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angels to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged with them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them. And certain men and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the morrow after they enter into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and called, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man, that is a Jew, to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man unclean, any man common or unclean." Adjustments were made again, even after he received the Holy Spirit. The Lord gave him a vision and helped him make adjustments. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what ye intend, ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, for whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, whom he cometh shall speak unto thee.' And immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded of thee." And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he feareth him. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with fire, who went down doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not all the people, but unto the witnesses who chosen before God, even to this who did eat and drink with him, after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, of course, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this happened before they were circumcised. So this proved that circumcision of the flesh was irrelevant. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? See, they received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in water. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them that they should be baptized in the name of the Lord. And when they, and then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Adjustments were made. That's the point. The Holy Spirit knows us and how we operate and what we're capable of. And even after you have successes, adjustments will still need to be made. And we'll end with Galatians 11. Paul said, he explained that he was an apostle sent to the Gentiles. And just like Peter and the others were sent to the Jews first. But here in verse 11, something happened. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. This is Paul talking. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, knowing better, but fearing them, acting on the fear, of course. Verse 13 says, and the other Jews dissemble likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and why not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul is talking to him and bringing them back to balance, because remember, culture is a fiery dart. Culture itself is a fiery dart that we must avoid. See, Peter grew from stage to stage. He was challenged from stage to stage, just like we are. That's why we have to draw near to the Lord. Stay in the presence of the Lord. Keep our relationship with the Lord alive. That's the way we win. And people that do this always abound. They're steadfast and unmovable, and they always abound. And they always enter into the next glory because they trust the Lord. Peter again repented. He didn't do this anymore. There's no other record of him dissimulating like that, bowing down to culture. See, you have to watch culture. It's tricky. The avenues of the enemy is slick. We need to stay in the presence of God to always abound. Now, he did. He wrote 2 Peter. And he taught us how to manage and continue in the faith of God. Now, I'll close with 2 Peter since I'm already 2 hours over. Might as well finish with 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now this is verse 5 through 9 tells us how to always overcome and abound, or verse 5 through 8. And then verse 10. But let me say this. It's not without a fight. Though you're listening to the Holy Spirit making adjustments, the enemy's still trying to get one in over on you. And if you miss it somewhere, get back up and follow the Holy Spirit. I asked the Lord, how did it get so bad? How did I feel? And he gave me wisdom. Now listen to this. Verse 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this part though. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And that's a good promise. But this is the structure. Now, he said, add to your faith virtue. I had a problem with that word. I didn't understand when I looked it up in the Hebrew and Greek dictionaries and our common dictionary. It didn't satisfy me. Something was missing from this word of our interpretations of it. And I did look up the Hebrew word. But I brought it to the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, what do you mean by this word virtue? What's the Holy Spirit definition of virtue? What is your definition? He said, it's the amount of my word in your heart. That word virtue means the amount of God's word in your heart. Add to your faith virtue. Fill your heart with the word. To virtue temperance. No, you're going to learn something. You're going to understand more than others in some areas. But be temperate. And then be patient. Be patient with people when they don't see what you see. Add to your patience godliness. Be just like God all the time. Be just like Jesus. To godliness, brotherly kindness. The way Jesus was. To kindness, charity. Love that does something. If these things be in you and abound, remember, we fulfill the law by the love of Jesus, the agape love of. You can't have the agape love of Jesus in your heart and lust after somebody because you're going to love their soul. You can't have the agape love of Jesus in you and do somebody wrong, rob a bank, steal from your friend. It's not going to happen. So the word of God gives you that agape knowledge. The word of God is the knowledge of love. They make you that you, these things being you abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in any category in the knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 9 is the opposite. If you lack these things, he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see far off, and has forgotten that he was purged of his old sin. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And then he went on to say this, and I'm closing with this part. According to the will of the Holy Spirit. He said, for so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the presence truth. Yea, I think it meet or fit, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. This is Peter talking. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For if we have not followed, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice from him, from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter was there with James and John when they heard this with Jesus. Then verse 18, and this voice came from heaven. We heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now watch this. Verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye dwell, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines on a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's more important than when they heard the voice from heaven. They heard God say, we receive from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, the prophecy of old time came by the Holy Ghost is more important than that. It's a more sure word of prophecy. So now they had the more sure word of prophecy, and they had the voice of God from heaven saying that this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. The Lord will always take us to the next level. And I thank God that he does. Now hear these things. Be wise. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Be wise. Hear him out. Hear what he has to say. Take authority when you need to. Hear the Lord out. He's your king. Treat the Lord as your king. Receive what the Holy Spirit has to say. Stay humble. Stay submitted to him. And if you're fully submitted to him, you'll obey him. And there's no poverty of any form in obedience. There are no limitations in obedience. See, God can use you where you are with what you have and still reach people in the world. You can still cause many people to be brought to the kingdom of God by your works. People may not see it, but God knows how to use you. And he has all the wisdom, and he'll solve all your doubts. They went and got Daniel because Daniel could solve doubts. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who enabled Daniel to solve doubts. So the Holy Spirit, who you listen to, would help you in your personal life and in your ministry life. And he would always help you be appropriate for the time that's needed. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in life. Stay in covenant agreement. Stay in the blessings of God. Stay in the knowledge and use the counsel. Stay in victory and live in victory.